All right. Thank you for being in your place tonight, and thank you for your work. So many good things happened this morning. We're very excited about that. One announcement, just a reminder to all of our guys going through the bus driving program that I will meet with you 5 minutes after the service in room 102, just a brief meeting, our weekly meeting together. And thank you for, I hope that you get on board and understand what we're doing with our building campaign. That's not what we're preaching about, but hope you'll be praying about that. We want to get that, we want to finish up, we're finishing up here. We want to get that other building finished up so we can continue to go forward. I want to speak to us tonight about a subject I think will help us if we listen. When we look at life, key things of life, they're the same, certain things are the same for everybody. We live under the same type of responsibility circumstances, and really we're accountable for our actions, especially if we're Christians, to the Lord. That's really a big one. But there's a problem we have sometimes. We can, when it comes to our responsibilities, our actions, doing the things we're supposed to do, we're very good at deceiving ourselves into thinking that we can get an exemption from these things because we have different excuses. We can look at things with a different type of logic. We make different reasons. And we look at different reasons we give ourselves, and so we're exempt from other things that people are supposed to do. And the fact of the matter is that it's just not really, that's not really true. We start to believe when we feel like we get a big exemption that we don't face the same accountability for our actions when they're wrong, the wrong type of actions, or for our lack of actions when we don't do the things that are right. Well, that seeps in. In other words, you say, I don't believe that. Okay, the speed limit is for other people. Right? Okay. That's what I believe. No. The stop signs. Those are for some people. Okay, I'm convicted. I better stop right there. We just think, you know, we're really good at deceiving ourselves into thinking we're just not like everybody else. We don't have the same restrictions. We don't have to follow the same orders. We don't have to be obedient. We're on a different level. What happens, though, the sad thing about that, when we start to buy into that type of feeling, and we would never in our mind say I'm exempt, but we live and we act like we are. And when that happens, the sad thing is we face more consequences in life. We're going to have more disappointments in life. And so I'm going to encourage us tonight to never get to the place where you believe that what applies to others doesn't apply to me. I'm exempt. I mentioned Steve Jobs. I read a biography of his, but the people that knew him best said he lived in his own self-distortion field. That he was a brilliant man, by the way, and he was a great leader and visionary and all these different things. But when it came to certain things, he could deceive himself into believing something was true that wasn't true. He liked to take these weird juice fasts. And he told people that he worked with in the early days of Apple that he didn't need to take a shower every day. In fact, he hardly ever had to take one because he was on this juice fast. And so because of that, you know, he wouldn't smell. And then finally they hired a CEO, and he saw him walk in the hallway one day and said, that's not working for you. You need to go home and take a shower. But the sad thing is this. When he got the final cancer that killed him, it was a type of cancer, if he would have went to the doctor right away and got help with that, there's a chance that he could have survived. But he believed if he went on this wild juice fast without going to the doctor, he would be just fine. And by the time he decided to go have this taken care of, it was too late. Some of us, we have a spiritual distortion field. We think that we are an exemption, and things that apply to others do not apply to us. In our text, we're going to see that from Peter. Peter is very easy to relate to. I said this morning that I believe Paul was the best Christian in the New Testament. Peter's right behind him, but if I look at things, Peter's more relatable than Paul, because Peter's just like us, right? If Peter thought it, he said it. If Peter felt it should be done, he did it. I don't think Paul would have tried to cut someone's ear off, but I kind of identify with Peter when he tried to cut someone's ear off. And so this is who Peter was. He just said it. And so he would go with his gut feeling. They had just finished the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus had come to all of them and said, "One of you is going to betray me." Now, these people were so sensitive to being right that they all, with good heart, at one time or another, went to Jesus and said, "Is it I? Am I going to be the one that sells you out, that betrays you?" And so then Judas gets up and leaves. They don't even catch that it's him. And so now they're coming out of that, and Jesus is going to tell them something else. He says that now all of you are going to forsake me. Judas was going to be the one who really betrayed him, but they were going to forsake him in his time of need. Look at verse 33 in your Bible, please, if you'll leave it open to there. Here's how Peter's exemption belief kicks in. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." I mean, Jesus told him straight up, that's how it's going to be. And Peter had the audacity to tell the Lord, no, not me. Maybe these guys will, but I'm an exemption. I'm the exception. Then when Jesus shares with him that he doesn't have an exemption, that it is going to happen, Peter doubled down in verse 35. Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Obviously, Jesus didn't understand Peter. So Peter wanted to make sure Jesus knew. Like, no, I'm committed. I'm more committed than these guys. I don't care who forsakes you. It isn't going to be me. Now, that's okay if you're arguing with somebody else. But when you're arguing with the Lord, there's a distortion going on. Someone's not catching it. What's the message tonight? Fact of the matter is, and we may not say it out loud, and we may not think we believe it, we believe that things that happen to others, things that are true for others, may not necessarily happen or be true for us. How else can you explain some of the things that we do? We wouldn't say it out loud, but we act like we have an exemption. We're not like everybody else. Things haven't changed. That's how people have been since the beginning. We think that all the things we hear that this is good and it should happen, but if I don't necessarily do it, it's okay. And it's not okay. It's like those of us that think we can exceed the speed limit until we see the red lights behind us. Okay, now I'm really feeling bad. So I want us to briefly look tonight at some things that will help us understand that we are not exempt from what God says. We're not exempt from having the right actions. We're not exempt from having the right attitude. We are not exempt from anything that God wills for our life. And I want us to see it in three different areas. First of all, I would say this. We are not exempt from Bible principles. We are not exempt from Bible. Look at verse 31. As Jesus is laying out that they're going to betray him, he's going to use an Old Testament verse. Verse 31, then Jesus said unto them, "All shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Now, Jesus was the Lord. Even if he did not pull out a scripture, what he said really, in essence, is scripture. And he said it, but he backed it up with an Old Testament scripture that says this is what's going to happen. And now I will say this, all of the guys denied that they would do this. But we look at Peter because Peter was the most vehement. And Peter was the one that kind of put himself up above the others. And so Peter's exemption kicks in. Let me give you a few thoughts about God's word that reinforce this very fact that there is no exemption from God's truth. There is no exemption from biblical principles. I would say that God's word is not neglectable. You cannot neglect it. It is not for some people, it is for all people. It's like listening to a message, right? And we listen to this message, and sometimes, I know you've never done this, but maybe somebody else in the church has. We hear something that's preached, and we're like, oh, I hope so-and-so heard that. That's good for that person. By the way, that's why when you preach about marriage, couples are together, just keep your elbows down, right? Say something, hey, the husband's ought to do that, and the wives want to like slingshot it, bam! Careful, you could break his ribs. But that's how we are. By the way, you say, well, Pastor, you never get preached at. I preach at myself, and I do listen to others. And so that would be a real thing, like, oh, that's a great message. I hope John Castle heard that. But I know better. John's not going to listen. Okay? No. When we hear something, we cannot neglect it. You may think that you have every reason in the world. You may be able to, in your mind, in a warped way, figure out a way around it, but you cannot neglect it. Well, I'm looking for a loophole. You talk to people that believe some of these idiotic, immoral, woke philosophies. Abortion's wrong. Well, what about in this case? A case that never happens, right? It's just idiotic. But we get in our minds that, you know what? I get it. God said it, but if I choose not to listen to what God said, that's okay. I can neglect it. When the fact of the matter is that you can't. The spirit you should have when you come to church, the spirit you should have when you open up his word and read it is, what is God trying to say to me? It's not just, I checked off this week that I came to church, and I checked off this week that I read my Bible. And by the way, those are very important. I'm not downplaying that. But I hope when we come here, it's like, hey, can I get some encouragement? Can I find out something from God that would help me in my life? Is there something that, and you say, well, are you saying we're bad people? Yes and no. We're all bad people because we're all sinners, right? And I'm not saying you're a bad person, but none of us are perfect, there's always something that God's going to try to have us fine-tune and work on in our lives. We shouldn't feel bad about it unless we're not listening to him, but if we have an open heart and God speaks to us like, Lord, thank you for that. Let me work on that, and I want to get that right in my life, and I want to be better. But you cannot neglect it. Secondly, God's word's not negotiable. You see, we want to argue about it. When Peter heard it, he should have just said, you're right. And I want to make sure that it's not me. No, it was going to happen. But Peter's stance was, I'm not going to do that. And he had to hear it again. And he still said, I'm not going to do it. And they all said that. That's probably why they did it. But we think we can negotiate with God. I've talked to many people. They'll come in sometimes and they're, they want to counsel about something and something that's going on or some problem in their life. And I've heard this phrase way too many times. They'll mention something like this, and I won't give you a particular, but they'll say, I know that I'm supposed to be doing this and I'm not, but, and they'll still sit there and discuss the problem. And I'm thinking they just walked right through the solution, right? Well, no, I'm supposed to be, like, it's a small thing. I know I'm supposed to read my Bible and I'm not, but it's like, well, wait a minute, why don't we backtrack a little bit? Maybe if you were reading your Bible. I know I'm supposed to be a little more faithful to church and be a little more serious about this, and I know that, and I'm not right now, but can you fix it? We have an exemption. The fact that they say that, and by the way, I probably said it in my mind too, the fact that they said that means they already know the solution. But what they want is the problem taken away without an answer to the solution. Without getting to the root of the solution. And that's the problem. We just think we can do what we want. That we can negotiate. And we can just do everything we want and ignore it. In the early part of the last century, the 1900s, there was an old pastor in Atlanta named Peter Marshall. One morning, the church was going through their congregational singing, and they sang, Take My Life and Let It Be. I love that congregation. I love that old hymn. And they sang this verse, Take my silver and my gold, not one mite with I behold. They got to the end of that verse. The pastor stood up before they said the next verse and said, hold on a second. We're going to sing that again. And he read those words to them. He said, now this time when we sing it, if that's not true in your life, don't sing it. You know what? That next time they sang that verse, it was a lot lower. And he wasn't trying to get on them. He was teaching them a lesson. It's easy for us to say we believe things that we actually don't, in fact, do. And so he's trying to get that. And then, by the way, when we are negotiating as to whether or not we will be obedient, do you know who we're negotiating with? Ourself. Because we can't, Peter tried to negotiate with God. Yes, that didn't work out, right? But you know who we'll start negotiating with? We have to go through this mental hoop in our mind that makes it okay for us to do it. And so we start, what about this and that? And once stuff starts bouncing around in there, we're in trouble. And then lastly, under this, God's word is not negatable. What does that mean? You can't just push it off to the side. It's not true. God's word is always true. God's word is binding, and it doesn't change. We can sit there and say we don't believe it, and you don't have to, but that doesn't change the fact of the matter that it's true. Just like in our society, they say that there's more than two genders. They can say it all they want, but the fact of the matter is that's not true. You can say it till you're blue in the face. You can sit there and say 1 + 1 = 4. You say, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Well, you need help with that one right there. But you can say it's 4 all you want, but that does not make it true. Okay, you can't sit here and do that. God's word, you say, I don't want to hear it. I don't believe it. I'm going to try to muddy it up. I'm going to try to talk myself out of it. But the fact of the matter is, you can't. It is rock solid. And you know, it doesn't change just because the calendar changes. How many of you ever heard this one? Well, you know, come on. I know the Bible says these things, but the world has changed since the Bible was written. Anyone ever hear that one? We live in a whole different world now. And if we're honest and we really look back at it, we live in a world that's worse than it's ever been. And we can't look at it like, why is that? Because we have gotten away from the truth that is eternal. What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word is forever settled in heaven. It's going nowhere. You may think that you can get away with it. You may think we could, I might think I can get away with it, but the fact of the matter is I can't. Secondly, we're not exempt by rejecting truth. Look at verse 33. Peter said, even though Peter tried to refute it and reject what Jesus was saying, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of me the shite, I'll never be offended. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise said all of his disciples, they can argue all they want. When push came to shove, they rejected it. They did exactly what they said they would not do. And they knew it, and they said they would do it, but when it came time, they rejected it. See, we think that we're exempt by something just because we reject it. Well, I just don't want to believe that. I don't want to do that. That's fine. That is our choice, right? And we do that sometimes. But it doesn't mean we can. What are we rejecting? We reject the responsibility. We believe that we are exempt from the responsibility given to us in the Bible. This was a responsibility to follow the Lord. And yet Peter said, no, I won't do it. Everybody will be offended but me. But Peter rejected it just like that. What was his responsibility to fulfill to follow the Lord? But he rejected it. We have a society now where we believe that we can ignore our responsibilities. I think part of it goes to just a societal thing where we don't make children fulfill any responsibilities, right? You can go to school and you don't have to do your work and they'll just push you through. There's a story a couple of years ago of a school in Baltimore, and there was a boy in there and he thought he was graduating and everything was fine. And then they come to tell him, like, you know, he got his grade point average, and he was, like, 51%, whatever his 100's an A+. His mom went down to the school and said, how come you never told me this? And come to find out with his 50%, he was in the middle of the pack. They just didn't care. They didn't care if they learned. I had a teacher, when I was in high school, those few times I went, they tried to get me to stay by putting me in a class called SUN. I don't even know what it stood for. It was basically two periods that counted for English and social studies, and we did whatever we wanted. Literally. One year for English, we decided, hey, let's watch movies. So the teacher brought movies in. Okay, what did we do on Friday? We had parties at the park. And the teacher, Neil, was a psychologist in the one class. The class had couches. We'd sit in the couches, and he would ask us philosophical questions. And he hardly ever gave assignments, but like twice he gave assignments one semester. And I didn't even bother to turn them in. And he never said anything. Now, sometimes I can get a little, you know, especially back then, sarcastic and cocky. So I don't know why. I went up to him. I said, hey, Neil. He didn't make me call him by his last name. I said, I never turn any assignments in. I never do anything you ever ask us to do. And I'm like, why don't you ever say anything? And he said, Steve, whether or not you do your assignments doesn't matter. Doesn't change how I feel about you. I'm like, well, thank you. But I'm failing. You don't think it's important enough to tell me? We don't want people to fulfill responsibilities. And we bring that into our life. We don't want the, by the way, being a Christian, here it is, comes with responsibilities. Things God tells us to do. By the way, it's a blessing to do them, and God helps us to do them. But we bring this into our Christianity, right? Spouses, people want to get married and have a spouse, but they don't want to fulfill the responsibilities that come with that. Parents, you want to have children, but there's responsibilities that come with children. You know, we get into debt, we don't want to pay our debt. College students, it's not the government's responsibility, my responsibility to pay someone else's. I don't know, I'm just irritated with that. That is the most ignorant thing. You know, pay my school debt. Why? I didn't go to school, you did. That's like saying, well, that's fine. Are you going to pay for my car? Are you going to make my house payment? But anyhow, we bring that into our Christianity. God gives us responsibilities. We're like, you know, there's certain things in Christianity I like, but I don't like that type of thing where God wants me to do some things. We also reject reality. How do we do that? Here it is. We believe that we are really committed to Christ when sometimes, and in certain areas, we aren't. Peter said, though I should die with thee. Now, eventually Peter got there, didn't he? But he told Jesus he would die with him, and then when the first sign of trouble came, what did he do? He bailed. You know what changed them? When they saw the resurrected Christ. Peter wasn't quite as committed. Now, he was committed, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't quite where he thought he was at. And because he thought he was committed, maybe that's why he felt he could do something else. In America, how we all talk about how we would die for Jesus. And by the way, there's nobody putting a knife at our throat because we are Christians. But I find it very odd that the majority of Christians, if you ask them, said they would die for Jesus, but the majority of us won't even live for him. Right? Maybe we're not as committed as we think we are. And in that can be very convicted. See, a commitment is measured by obedience to God's word. That's how you measure it. Not by some warm, fuzzy feeling we had. Man, I came to church today and the music was just good. You know, I just have this good feeling today. And by the way, I'm nothing wrong with good feelings, right? They're better than bad feelings. How many say amen? But let's not measure it by that. Because you can have a warm, fuzzy feeling and then walk out and do something completely contrary to what is right. And we live in a feelings-based society. Feelings are fine, but they don't determine facts. We need to get away from that. It's obedience to his word, not just spiritual words that come from our lips. You know, we say all the right things, but really are we in our hearts, do we really want to do the right thing? We give some lower level of service to him and say we're committed. Here's what Jesus said. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know what Jesus said? Look, you want to call me Lord, but if you're not willing to do the things I say, and by the way, he's not being mean-spirited there. I think he's trying to teach us something. that Lord isn't just a name we attach to him. It's a sign of our relationship to him. In other words, if we say Lord, that means he is actually in charge of our lives. And if he is in charge of my life, I am actually going to strive to do and live the way he would ask me to. That's really what makes him Lord. It's not just some title. And then we reject regulation. In other words, we believe that we can control the situation without God's help. He said, I'm not going to deny you, and yet he did. You know what he was saying? Jesus, don't worry about this. I got it under control. Don't we all think we have everything under control? We think we got everything down. And that, I know, Jesus, I know you're saying that, but the reason I think these guys are going to do it is not, and not me, is because I got this. Don't worry. I've got the situation in hand. When it comes to living for Christ, we don't have the situation in hand. All of us need some help. All of us need to be careful of things. See, one of the reasons we get ourselves into trouble is because things that ought to cause us to get our guard up and make some movement towards Christ, we kind of just let it go, thinking, this isn't a big deal. I know if I'm not careful, it would lead to something, but it's okay. I got this under control. I'm going to be just fine. And what happens is, it isn't. You want some exemptions? You know, we think we're exempt because we control those flirting texts or inappropriate talk with other people. Right? Look, you feel some type of pressure like that, go the other direction. Don't let people be inappropriate around you. So, well, I have this, you know, this coworker, and he makes these little joking things, and he's of the opposite gender, shut it down. Well, you know, shouldn't I be nice and be a Christian? In that context, be a Christian, you don't have to be nice. Say, don't ever talk to me like that again. Come on. Oh, you know, come on, I'm just joking, blah, blah, blah. Hang tight. Hey, honey, I have this coworker that wants to talk to you. Don't let that stuff go. See, it starts to feed our flesh, and we're like, I got this under control. It's not a big deal. It's just so-and-so being so-and-so. And then we get ourselves into trouble. You want another example? My children are exempt. They can handle that freedom that comes with electronic devices. No. They can't. They just can't. I'm convinced in my heart that we barely can. You know, and look, if it was just for phone calls, that'd be one thing. Well, I really got quiet there, but I mentioned it regularly. If it was just for phone calls, it'd be one thing. But you understand there's a lot more on there. You say, but Pastor, you know, should I not trust my kids? I love them. No, you shouldn't trust them. Not because they're bad, but because you're giving them something that could take a good kid and give them opportunity to do something that is bad before they're able to handle it. So don't do that. And it's between you and your child, but can I just tell you something? I like to play the odds. Not camping, you know, that's what it sounds like, right? Yeah, and if something is going to be more conducive towards success, that's what I want to do. If something is more conducive towards a gamble, not like that, but you know what I'm talking about, like the odds are going to go down, I'm going to stay away from that. Why is it that many of our tech billionaires actually put limits towards what their children do with technology? And I can give you the names we have in the past, because they know. They're the ones that designed it. And so let's be very careful. Well, I can handle those shady social media habits. No, you can't. Let's get to some easy ones. I'm exempt in my marriage. I don't need a date night or close communication with my spouse. Believe it or not, you do. And I have a hard time believing that she actually wants to hang out with you either, but she does. You say, but Pastor, I've asked my wife. She said, we're good. We don't need to go out. That's a really bad sign. We just, all these little things, and I could go on and on. I'm exempt from a godless friend and their unspiritual influence. Be very careful. One more, and then I can get over this and pray for me. I'm exempt. I can handle those godless movies and music. Look. And yeah, I know. I'll probably get crucified here, but that's, you know, I'm in good company. I personally, and I'm not someone that grew up with hymns. I'm not someone that the music and the concerts I went to were not choirs. They were not, opera. Okay? Trust me, the Long Beach Arena, I've been there a lot of times. Not for sporting events. So I'm not a novice on this. I don't think Christians should listen to secular music. Amen. Well, what about Mozart? He didn't say anything. It's okay. I put that ambient music on the background. Why? It keeps people from bugging me and I have a little more concentration. I'm not saying that, but that's a philosophy that has crept into Christianity. It's been very detrimental. Right. You want an example? Yeah, Pastor. Okay. Taylor Swift. And I'm using her for an example for one reason. She just came out with a new album. And I bought it, and I was very disappointed. I'm just kidding. I think she could have done better. She spent too much time at the football game, and not enough time with her music. So I DM'd her, and she's good. Just kidding. It's not only profane, and I've not heard it, but I've seen the words. It's also some songs are just very anti-Christian and mockery. But here's the problem. I'm gonna explain this to you so we can get this mentality out. There's a man named Shane Pruitt. He's a director for the Southern Baptist Convention's North American Missions Board. They're not us. In his Facebook post after this came out, he urged Christian parents to seriously consider if they should allow their Christian to listen to Swift music. Say, that's good, Pastor. Let me give you his flawed philosophy and why we're a train wreck. Here's his quote. I'm definitely not the minister or parent that has the no secular music stance. Also, I fully realize unbelievers are going to act like unbelievers. However, there is a difference between being secular and being anti-Christian. Now that sounds good, but it's garbage. You know what he was saying there before he got to this? I listen to secular music and I know they're gonna say things that aren't godly because they're not Christians. Has he ever read Psalm 1? We're not supposed to listen to that kind of stuff. And we say music doesn't teach, but that's a lie. Because my children learned the ABCs. Now, they didn't have Coco Melon back then, who now is transgendered, I guess. I'm not sure. But, Emily had a little thing that, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know. And she knew her ABCs by the time she could barely talk because she knew the song. We use songs to teach children things, but then when we want to listen to this type of rotten music, we say it doesn't teach anything. It does. It does. And by the way, it's just not God-honoring. And I don't hate her or anybody else. I hope they get saved. But that doesn't mean we need to consume that stuff. That's not going over very well. I think it says, Pastor, hurry up and get over to this thought right here. You say, I'm not as much concerned about her or any other artist. Godless mockery music. I'm more concerned about the songs that are profane, sexual, anti-Bible, principled. That's what I'm in. So we buy into this philosophy thinking, hey, it won't affect me. Yes, it will. I have said it over and over and over, and I hope you try to prove me wrong. If you are not listening to godly music, you're listening to godless music, that's the kind of Christian you're going to be. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Listen to that stuff. And by the way, that's the stuff I listen to. And as I started to grow in my faith and that music was playing and I'm reading my Bible, it didn't take long, but I'm like, man, I'm over here reading my Bible and then I'm listening to, you know, whatever, UFO, all these other groups I listen to. And I'm like, their music is completely different than what I'm reading. And I realized something had to go. And so I kept the Bible, and I got rid of the music. And then I thought, now the church music, there is no way on earth I'm listening to that stuff. And then as I got to church, and I'd listen to that, and I'd hear the words, and I'm like, wow, that's really good. And that ministered to my spirit. And so we need to be very careful. And I could give many examples, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. We think we're exempt from some of these, and you could just look at the stuff you watch, the things like that, and where you go to. I'm just saying, be careful. If it's anti-God, why would I want to glorify and uplift that in my life? And then lastly, in just a couple minutes, I'm done. We are not exempt from suffering certain consequences. You see, this is the problem, and it happened to Peter. Whether or not we believe something is true, it will always be proven true in our life if God says it's true. But the sad part is when it's proven right by the negative consequences that come because we rejected it. You understand that? If I want God's principles to be proved in my life, I'd rather have it be proved by the blessings it brought in my life because I'm obedient than by the consequences it brought because I chose to play the exemption card and be disobedient, right? And by the way, I'm not trying to be negative tonight because, and I'll say it in a minute, if you take all these things and you flip them on their end and you go the good direction with them, the opposite is true. It's always our choice. But the truth is proved in our disobedience by the consequences, and the truth is proved in our life by the obedience and the blessings that it. What happened to Peter? Peter understood the consequences in his darkest hour. Okay, what happened? He realized he was not fully committed. Look at verse 58. We did not read these verses. It said, but Peter followed him, verse 58, afar off. Now Peter, after forsaking him, thought, okay, hey, I need to be on board a little bit, but I don't want to be caught. I'm still a little bit afraid. So he started following him, but he followed him from a distance. And when you follow Christ from a distance, you know who you're around? You're around those that aren't close to Christ. That's just common sense. And those people found him out. So he's there. It's like he's hanging out. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Aren't you one of his followers? No, man, that's not me. Wait a minute. You sound like one of his followers. And finally, to convince them that he wasn't one of their followers, he had to cuss and swear. Like, I got to play the game. He didn't want to do that. He's a good man. But he was too far away. When you're too far away, you're with this group over here who don't know any better. We're not being condemning of that. But they will still, if you allow them, because they don't know any better, they can draw you away. So let's be very careful. Then we also understand that we are not fully capable. Look at verse 69. When we follow exemptions, it reveals our weaknesses. Let me just mention it. Verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what. He goes, what are you talking about? That's translation, okay? 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I swear, I wasn't there. It was not me. Notice how he's digging a deeper grave for himself? And after a while, they came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Come on, you talk like one of those guys. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. You see what happens when you become an exemption and you don't do what you're supposed to do? Now listen, this is super important. Not that the other stuff wasn't, but you start doing things that would shock even you. I guarantee you, Peter was shocked, like, did that just come out of my mouth? Not only did I deny that I knew him, I actually took an oath that I didn't know him, and now I'm cussing and swearing that I didn't know him. Now, this is Peter that spent 3 years with him. This is Peter that said, I'd never do that. And this is Peter who we do see his commitment later level, who would die for Christ and preach for him later. But he was shocked, I guarantee you. And by the way, so will we be. I believe anybody in this room could be caught up in doing anything that is wrong if we start getting away from God. And we start making defense for it. When we start making exemptions and we think that we're okay and we excuse what we're doing, we're stepping into some pretty shady area. We're walking on quicksand, and that never is going to turn out well. And so let's be very careful. We have to understand that we are weak. Each and every one of us are spiritually weak on our own. We need God's help. And when we feel like we don't need his help and we can pick and choose what we do, we are zapping that spiritual strength that we have. And I'll understand this, and you can see it from Peter's life. You may privately decide that you are exempt and live your life that way, but the results will be publicly displayed in the consequences it brings. The consequences are going to be out there, right? And then lastly here, the consequences lead us to not be fully cognizant. In other words, we lose sight of the fact that God is always right. He always is. And by the way, if we would build on that foundation, we would be a lot better off, right? And there's something about humanity that makes us think that we are always right. There's something about Satanism that tries to push us to believe we can decide what's right so that we think we're always right. But when that happens and we start to get the exemption problem, we're not even recognizing the fact that God is always right. And you know how Peter found that out? Look at verse 75. And Peter, as soon as he does it the third time, cock-a-doodle-doo, right? And Peter remembered the word of Jesus. As soon as he said it, it's like right there. Jesus said this is going to happen. And in the other gospels, it says that not only did he remember the word of the Lord looked out and saw him. There was eye contact there. And he's like, I let him down. How could that happen? And says he went out and he wept bitterly. See, we have to understand that God is always right. And so the decision we need to decide is this. Do we want to find out that he was right on the side of blessing or on the side of consequence? Because he will always be proven true. Someone has said, you cannot break God's laws. You can only break yourself against God's laws. It's like fighting against a rock. The ship going in on the troubled seas into the rock, can I just tell you something? The rock wins 100% of the time. It's undefeated. The ships always lose. So, Pastor, what should we do tonight? Let me just share and say it. Let's follow God's principles. Just follow them. You say, but Pastor, sometimes I just don't understand them and they don't make sense to me. Get in line. When I sat in church as a new Christian, the pastor would say something, I'm like, excuse me? I'd look at my Bible, like, it's right there. Like, I gotta get on board. Follow God's principles. Receive God's truth. Don't reject it. You hear it, you make a decision, you say, okay, Lord, I may not get it, I may not understand. By the way, that's faith, isn't it? Faith is doing what God says, despite how I feel and all those different things. I'm just gonna trust that God is right, and I'm gonna make it a part of my life. And then you know what the good thing is? Let's receive positive consequences. You get married and say, you know what? I want to have a marriage that's strong and solid and lasts forever. Follow God's principles. Don't follow the world's because I've seen the statistics. Right? Hey, I want to have children that are God-honoring and live their lives for him. I want to put them in the best position so that when they're adults, they'll continue to go forward. Follow God's principles. Don't put them in a place that are going to teach them anti-God principles. They're strong enough, they'll get through it. No, they won't. They won't. They have to walk on water. Let's receive positive consequences. Follow what God says. I would rather look back at my life and say, wow, God did what he said he would do. I'm so glad I was a part of it. Than look back at my life and say, I wish I could have done things different. By the way, some of us come in sometimes and we've already experienced a little bit of that. So what we ought to say is, from now on, I'm going to get God's blessing. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening intently. I just want us to understand that God's way is best. And all of us can argue with God, don't we? Can. All of us, I've done it. The mental gymnastics, it's just not worth it. Now as I look back at my life, these many, many years since I gave in to him when I was about, right before I turned 18, when I finally gave in, I can look back at my life and I have zero regret, zero regret. Have I ever let the Lord down? Obviously, of course. Has he ever let me down? Never, never. I've seen the truth of his word. And by the way, I've seen it in other people's lives as well. I've seen them follow his principles and not be the exemption. And things have turned out well. Let's all stand together if we may. Thank you so much for listening. Piano is going to play tonight. Did God speak to you? I don't think we have rebels. You wouldn't be here. But sometimes things come to our mind and we live in this flesh and we have an enemy, Satan, and he tries to get us to think. And by the way, it starts with little things, not big things. But I just want to follow God.